Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Hoops Hype Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Scotto. While the NBA playoffs are going on in the bubble, we caught up with Atlanta Hawks double-double machine John Collins to discuss what it was like hearing his name in trade rumors, where he stands on a long-term contract extension with the Hawks, his sales pitch to get free agents to come to Atlanta this summer, and the landscape of the league. Enjoy our conversation on those topics and much more coming up. You've been watching the playoffs the whole way?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the whole TV on now, but you know, I'm all for playoff basketball. These guys are trying now. It's not just regular season stuff, so I'm here to watch now.
What do you think I'm watching the playoffs right now, given where you guys finished during the year?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we could have been in the bubble. I know we would have been there if, you know, all of the things went right. You know, my suspension, injury, team, whatever the hell, you know, excuse me, you know, whatever situation you want to be. I felt like, you know, giving us a fair chance, definitely should be in the bubble, but even more motivation to talk about that, Mike, but even more motivation to watch the playoffs, man, because it's good basketball.
Do you guys wish like you could be doing something right now that they would have either did all 30 teams or even just for the other 8 teams that didn't make the bubble, that they did some type of tournament or something just to keep you guys fresh?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely thought or, you know, I had set in my mind that we were going to do something. But, you know, obviously with all of the changes and the continual stuff that they keep on telling us to wait for or not wait for, kind of hard to gauge, but you know, at some point I thought we were going to do something, and as of now it's looking, you know, still looking like everything's up in the air, but I would have loved to have done something. But I on the other hand, I don't feel like me not playing in these games is hurting my game. I definitely feel like I come to a gym and I go all out every single time, and I work hard every day, so I don't feel like I'm getting worse. I don't feel like I'm not playing in games, it's hurting me. You know, I'll be rusty. But, you know, that's how I feel. But I feel like if I have a basketball in my hand in the gym to train in, like, I'm going to get better. So the notion that guys are going to get worse, I feel like it's up to them. But definitely, I, you know, really feel like they should have, I don't know, we could have figured something else out for the, you know, for the guys that aren't in the playoffs. But it's still a tough situation in general. We're just talking about COVID overall. So, like I said, it's all a big mess right now.
What have you been doing since they did the NBA restart just for yourself?
Yeah, so I just welcomed a young man into the world, big man Jay. He's on the couch eating right now, so I've been taking care of my daddy duties. And other than that, just been trying to bust my ass in the gym and just stay ready because, like I said, I know at some point we're going to have some sort of basketball or some sort of real live action. And, you know, my goal is to always be in the best shape possible all year round. I love working out every day. You know, I love doing my job. So, that's really a day to day, taking care of a little man and going in and getting my work in and trying to occupy myself any way I can. Family, maybe take a, you know, quick vacation, go home here or there. But it's not too much to do right now. In terms of trying to be safe, if I want to be safe and do things, it's kind of boring. You know what I mean? So, it's been rinse repeat.
Well, first off, congrats on becoming a dad. That's one of the most beautiful things that you can experience in life.
Yes, sir. Big thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Big thanks. He's eating right now on the couch, holding on to his mama's hair. He's doing good, though. Thank you, though.
Good stuff. You know what I was thinking of as you were telling me about becoming a dad? You know, Michelle Roberts was talking about maybe next year the league has to stay in that bubble, kind of like they're doing in Orlando now, or they split it up into a bunch of different regions and maybe they have a couple of bubbles. How would you feel about that?
No, man, you know, I'm going to just be honest. It's weird. It'd be weird, you know? Like, the bubble now is weird. The only reason it's not, like, completely foreign to me, and it's going to sound funny, is because, you know, I'm a Florida kid, and I grew up playing at the, you know, the HB Field House and Disney World Wide of Sports and all those arenas and gyms that those guys are playing in would, like, sort of benefit me because I played in all those arenas and stuff as a kid. But outside of that, I definitely think it would be, like, extremely weird. I'd be on board for it. I'm definitely showing up to my job and handling business, of course, you know, but it'd be weird, man. I don't like the idea. I want to be in a, you know, I want to go through a regular season. I want to see the fans. I want to sign some autographs, but it just might not be the safest thing right now. So, you know, with that being, you know, in the situation, kind of jumbles things a little bit. So, I don't know. How would you feel about that bubble? How would you feel about forced ever bubbles? It just sounds like weird.
You know what's funny? I'm in Brooklyn and in New York. You know, thankfully we've done okay with the whole coronavirus. At least in the beginning, it was tough, no doubt about it. But we've knock on wood, you know, got it under control. I think my biggest thing is what I miss with all of this is going to the arenas, interacting with you guys in the locker room, and saying hello and pulling a guy to a side, maybe get an interview or something like that. It's just, you know, it's not
it's nothing like being in an arena. It's nothing like going through that, just walking into the gym yesterday and hearing like four or five dudes work out at once was like music. And like, I can only imagine for you guys, like for me or for people who don't play, like the whole atmosphere is everything. Like the ambiance and what you guys are looking for, it's all gone. Like the fans, like I know, you know, you hear a couple chatters and you try to hear everything that it's like the whole NBA circle is sort of just dead. Now everything is just in the bubble. So I feel you on that 100%. Like I'm a big feel and vibe type of person, especially when it comes to, you know, my teammates and my on-court chemistry with, you know, where I am and everything. And I feel like that's part of the reason why I can get into that mental state is because of the fans, because of the media, because my family is there. Everybody's there watching the TV. It sets the table. You know what I mean? And now it just feels naked. I feel kind of naked watching these games. All these fans on a Zoom call, or I forgot how they said it was, but all these fans on the screen looks really like weird. Like it don't even look right.
The only benefit I would say for you guys is being in the bubble, you're more fresh because you're not traveling maybe cross country or maybe back to backs like that. That because all these games have been really close and that's been fantastic. But I agree with you 100% that the vibe is different. And, you know, for you guys as players, and I think similarly for us as reporters, when we get to the arena early, I usually, for a 7 o'clock game, I usually like to get there about 4:15, 4:30, you know, for the really early birds that, you know, warm up and stuff and have those conversations. It's almost like walking into a church, if you think about it, like before a
match. You know what's crazy? I said the same thing to my coaches just like a month ago. I was like, man, every time I walk into here, like, every time I walk into like the practice facility and I see the open court, I feel the same way. I'm like, man, I look at this as like a church. Everybody's coming in. Everybody's like paying their respects, giving their body, laying their lives on the line for all this shit. Like basketball, like I say, ball is life. But I really feel like that's real. Like it's almost basketball, almost a religion. And on how, like, in my personal opinion, to be successful at this game is you have to buy all the way in. And I feel like the game knows if you are bought in or not and respects you off that, and well, that has an effect on how you play and your career for me. So I always, like, I feel the same way whenever we're talking about a basketball. I feel like, you know, there's a whole layer of respect you got to put over it before you even do anything, because I feel like I'm just happy and blessed to play this sport at the level I do it. So I'm happy you said that, man. It's crazy. That's exactly how I feel in some, like, weird way. But not to say that we're worshiping anybody or anything, but it's that feeling. I feel you on that.
No, great, great minds think alike. And for me, and I'm sure for you too, basketball is peaceful. It's a way to get away from, you know, look, there's no way to sugarcoat it. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in our world at this time. And just once in a while to, you know, if you watch the news 24/7, I really think you could get depressed. So having basketball back,
for sure,
you know, it doesn't, like, to me, basketball doesn't take away from the seriousness of what's going on in the world. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement, everything. What I do think it does, though, it gives us a little bit of joy and relief. You know, like, as humans, I was talking about this with Miles Turner on the podcast, that the mental health aspect of all of this And like for you guys being in a bubble, being isolated away from your families, for you, you have a kid now. You know, for me, it would be, you know, my family and whatnot. That's not how we're meant to live on a day to day.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last, the ending part? I'm sorry, you cut out just a little bit, Mike.
Oh no, just that, like, you know, the end, like for us, that we're not built to be like that, this isolated thing, you know what I mean? Like, where
you guys
being in a bubble, and for you being away from your son, or you know, me being away from my family and whatnot, it's just you're not meant to do that. You're meant to go home from work.
It's totally foreign. No, yeah, you're right. You're meant to go home and experience that. You know, there's so many things that I feel like it makes it probably feel like the players are like going crazy, because like after a game, it's like it's literally like. It's routine, you know. I shower, I do this, I do that. I, you know, decompress, and then this media. It's like a whole cycle that, like, I feel like I need to get through after games. So I can only imagine how those guys are feeling in there when they got to go into that room and do their media on that screen and just talk to all the media personnel on that, like, that one screen. And there's no fans signing after the game. Nobody, you know, calling your name. Like, it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, I usually look up and I see one familiar face in the crowd. Now I see, like, you know, box faces. So, like I said, I feel like you were touching on it a little bit. The game's not even really supposed to be built to be like this. You know what I mean? The basketball's, you know, always is that sport that touches so many people, international, you know what I mean? I feel like the sport has a language. Basketball is a language, you know, right? We all speak the same language. That's that same categorization as, like, you know, religion. You know what I mean? So I feel like Hoopers or everybody right now is just happy to at least have something on the TV. I know I am, especially sitting at home. But as a player, man, it's frustrating, dude. And it's frustrating in every way. Because like you said, when you look out and you see the realness of the COVID-19 and the Black Lives Matter movement, those aren't going anywhere.
No, it's not. And, you know, I also caught up with your head coach, Lloyd Pierce, and he's become quite an activist during this whole Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, what else that gets me, too? When you were talking about, like, the games and stuff and without the fans, it's almost like you guys are playing, like, in a park by yourselves and just trash-talking against each other. And it's such a different vibe. You don't have anything to feed off of. It's your own competitive nature. No, there's no fans, like a home court advantage or anything in a bubble.
Right, like, and that's the crazy part, like, in seeing how the NBA has been innovative and been able to put the fans on the TV, and that's cool, but just speaking from a player's perspective, just the coach's perspective, the atmosphere, the ambiance, just all different. I feel like it probably feels like they're playing AAU or travel basketball, you know what I mean? But on the other sense, though, I do feel like the reason we have been seeing such great basketball is because, you know, guys have been forced to just be around each other more. And I feel like, you know, the more guys are around each other, the better they play on the court, the more they understand each other, et cetera. So there's always good and bad, but definitely a lot more visible bad in this situation. But, like, you know, the NBA has done a great job with keeping the quarantine safe and keeping these guys, you know, ready to go. Like, it's incredible. So hopefully we can set a precedent for the other leagues to, you know, get their season underway, keep everybody healthy.
No, for sure. I, you know, knock on wood, everybody's been good in the bubble that way. And, you know, you mentioned about it's kind of like no distractions. Like, you don't got the groupies. You don't got, like, these, like.
Right. Nothing. Yeah, have the guys outside asking you to sign sign your autographs. So, like you say, you don't have to walk through the tunnel and see everybody and everything. Or you might see somebody from high school that came to the game one time. And that might mess your whole night. You know what I'm saying? It's small stuff like that you don't have the opportunity to see anymore. And I see a lot of, you know, reading Twitter and Instagram and just hearing stuff. You see a lot of people say something along the lines of, hey, like, you know, I don't know why, you know, guys are out of shape, or, you know, there's no excuse for it, for any of that. You know, all you're doing is, you know, practicing the game, you know, improving yourself. All your coaches are right there. There's no travel. You have the best food. So to me, like, if you were to lock down and really double down, all these professionals, all these guys who really know what they're doing at their job, everybody has to improve. It's just the nature of the game. So I definitely think it's good. It's better basketball to be on TV, and I think that's helping out a lot too.
Do you were saying about social media, do you go on like Twitter and Instagram and see, you ever like search yourself as an athlete and see what people say about you?
Usually I only search myself like after game. Like after game, I usually, you know, put John Collins in and see like what pops up. But other than that, I don't think I'm ever really searching for my name. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I'm not too much of a social media guy. Like I go on, I'll probably be on every day. But in terms of posting, I usually don't post too much at all on anything, really, not too often. But I try to stay aware, you know what I mean? Or if I, like, see something, or then I'll go, like, if I'm interested in the topic, then I'll go right to Twitter and put in, you know, whatever I'm looking for. But usually, no. Like, I'm usually just not on social media all day posting. You know what I'm saying? I'll look, but I'm not a big poster. You know what I mean?
What do you do? What do you do if somebody talks trash about you after a game, and then and they either at mention you, or even if they don't like do that, they just type in like John Collins? What do you do when you see that?
I mean, most of the time I just let it be. Now, if they say something like obviously if I see somebody say something that's like super duper out of line, like they're talking about my moms, or they, you know, I might block them depending on if we lost or not. But mm-hmm. if we won, like regardless of whatever happens, I'm usually just, you know, I really don't care. Like, you know, I let comments be comments. I'm not going to see all of them. I can't, you know, never going to see any of these people in real life. So, like, I try not to get too angry, or and I know I really can't do anything about it. So I just, you know, keep it rolling, really. Keep pushing.
I don't know if you've experienced an early afternoon game either at the Garden or at Barclays. Me personally?
My favorite. I usually have the most bounce. Those are the days I have the most bounce because I don't have to do no shoot around. So I usually come in there jumping super duper high in those early day games. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I like that perspective because for other people, they look like, you know how there's like the Hunger Games? I call those games.
Funny, yeah.
I call those games the Hangover Games because some people look wrecked the night. Like you could tell they were out drinking, partying, you know, maybe till 3. And then you got a game at noon. By the time you got to get on a bus, get to the arena and all that, they looking a little sleepy, a little bloodshot eyes. You could tell.
Oh, yeah, people think, you know, NBA players just go out every night. I'm like, you know, that sounds great. You know, we have the resources and, you know, all that great stuff to do it. But like you said, like you just listed out our morning schedule. You know what I'm saying? We usually probably have a meeting at 8:30 or 9, and then we get on the bus, go shoot around, come back, you know, wait, and then we go back to the arena. And like, and that all happens before like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? So we're just moving throughout the day. And a lot of the times when you have those early games, it cuts a lot of that movement out, and it's just one bus straight to the arena. And, you know, for myself, I kind of, you know, it's just less movement, less motion, less things to think about. You know, anybody who just is up and moving all day understands exactly what I mean. So, you know, although I am, you know, I might not be as up mentally, physically, my body feels a lot less looser. Also because, you know, no shoot around and just no extra movement. My body's been at rest all day. And the first time it gets to rev up is for a game, which for me is, I feel like it's better on my body.
When you're in New York in particular, where do you like to go out?
Sheesh. You know, I only been to one place in New York if I've been out, and that was, I think it was called Up Down or something. That was that was my draft night. So okay. Other than that, really, man, I don't have any spots. Like I have. That was my only time in New York, and I'm not even playing with y'all. I've been out anywhere. Food spots. Only food spot I know of that I love, and I had it once in London, is called Steak and Lobster. It's like a steak and lobster burger place. It's really damn good. Other than that, man, I'm still trying to wait till somebody takes me up to Harlem or the Bronx so I can get a real chopped cheese. Other than that, I don't have any real spots yet. So.
I got you. Well, probably won't fit your diet, but if you ever want some Italian food, obviously you come to Brooklyn.
Ooh, no, hey, man. Hey, we could – no, New York City, hey, listen, whatever food you want, we can try because I know you guys got the good eats up there, man. You guys definitely – you guys ain't lacking. Like – every corner, everywhere, y'all got good food. So
you a pizza
guy?
That's
a big plus. Big time. That's my favorite type of pizza right there, New York style.
New York. And you know what? Obviously, I love my New York pizza, but I will tell you this. I have been to Chicago. I do like their pizza, too. They got it going on.
Oh, of course. Of course, you know, it's a nice change up. You know what I mean? When you go to Chicago and you get the nice deep dish, eat it with a fork, feel a little fancy. It's good though. If you go to the right spot, I know it's a bunch of spots. You know, it's like New York. Once you get to the city, it's like, oh, it's pizza spots everywhere. You just got to know the spot. So I feel like once I find like the nice mom and pop spot that got the best one, it's on from there. But I enjoy all types of pizza, man, for sure.
No, for sure. How do you think maybe, like, we were talking about like a game day before, you know, you got the meeting in the morning and then you got chewed around the bus. What do you think a game day could be like in the bubble?
Yeah, game day, I could already only imagine if game day, some teams either have shoot around, they don't have shoot around. They'll probably have a mandatory film and breakfast most every team on a game day. Some teams, like I said, will have shoot around, won't. Older teams or teams, you know, who need it. That's usually how you can judge. The older the team, the more likely they won't. And then in the bubble, they don't have to move as much. So I feel like it's a very relaxed. Ooh, sorry, somebody almost got hurt on the TV right there. But I feel like it's really relaxed. You know, guys will go get their breakfast, come right back. Everybody's pretty much on campus and would come back and maybe chill in the hotel for a couple hours and then probably head to the bus around 3 or 4 for their 7 o'clock game. Maybe a little later. I don't know how far the HP Fieldhouse is from where the guys are staying, but that probably has a big effect on when they'll, you know, start heading down to the bus or when they'll start getting their bags back, because that's really usually how it's based off of, is the time from your hotel to the arena when stuff is going regularly. So they'll probably have it some sort of way in a similar fashion. Like I said, since they don't have to travel to like the Amway Center or something. So
no, for sure. I think we might have touched on a little bit before, but obviously me and you, we're both watching the playoffs right now. What do you think in watching it? Or is a part of you going almost like to yourself, man, like, I feel like we could be there? Because I remember coming into the season, you guys seemed like a team that was, especially after last year, maybe like knocking on a door, or if some things went right, you guys could have been there. But obviously there was a lot going on with, you know, your suspension and, certain guys just like Clint Capella not getting able to play. I mean, what are you thinking watching that right now? You motivated? What's going through your mind?
So just because of like in terms of watching this, is this motivating me to get ready, like to go back and, you know, get fired up for the season, sort of? Or you asked it to me again. Sorry, I might have.
Nah, it's all good. Just how you feeling watching the playoffs right now? Like, what's going through your mind?
Oh well, I mean, the first thing that goes through my mind whenever I start watching the playoffs is just like the jump, and the jump in terms of intensity. And I feel like I can see it now going into my fourth year, whereas my first 3 years it kind of just all looked the same. But now I truly like can tell like the intricacies and having played against certain guys, you know, a million times now. It makes the mental side of the game, just watching, so much harder, because even me, I know what all these guys on the court like to do, you know, and I haven't scouted and watched film on it in so long. So that alone, just, you know, the intensity and the game planning, I know is there. So for me, it's definitely a good watch. And then the next thing I know, you know, every game is going to be mostly competitive. Nobody's really getting blown out. As I watch this Brooklyn's final game right now, and I definitely feel like there's a couple good matchups. Always a couple good first round matchups. And, you know, playoffs is just good basketball, man. Like, I don't mind it. Obviously, mad I can't be there, but I'm not salty or, you know, mad, you know, hung up over it. I understand why we're not there and what needs to be done. You know, so. At the end of the day, I'm a basketball fan and basketball purist, so I can enjoy some basketball, you know, with the best of them, man. So I'm enjoying.
When I was talking with Lloyd Pierce the other day, he was telling me he felt like after you got your suspension, he felt like you had something to prove, and you did that. I mean, you look at your numbers, you know, they were outstanding. What did you take away from
that?
What'd you take away from that suspension? And I think also for you, the first time in your career, your name kind of got surfaced in trade talks where teams were kind of hitting up the Hawks and checking on you.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you?
Yeah, I'll start backwards, I guess. The trade talk and stuff is, I'm always aware of that being an option, just because, you know, me being an NBA player, like, I get it, you know what I'm saying? So I wasn't really too hung up over that. I know, for me, whenever I'm in trade talks, that's a good thing. I mean, other teams are seeing my value, want me, and what, so I try to take it as a good thing. Now, in terms of the suspension and stuff, obviously, you know, no one likes to see that, but I felt like I used that entire time to just motivate myself. You know, I didn't miss a Hawks game. I watched all the guys, you know, every time they played, and it just really just gave me some time to think about my career, think about the mistakes I've made, think about the positive things I'm doing. It just gave me a little bit of a perspective shift and kind of just narrowed and zeroed in on my goals a little bit more, you know, because I feel like, you know, coming into the league, you're always wide-eyed, and you don't really always understand what's best for you, what's necessary for you to be great. And I definitely felt like, you know, not saying that I wanted to go through that. Obviously, I feel like everybody, you know, doesn't feel like that, but having to go through it and trying to bring some positive out of it, you know, my body is the most important thing that I have, and I must value it, you know, with my life. So I do, and I will, and I'm continuing to do so. So, you know, it's things we move on from.
How about for you being one of the top guys in Atlanta? You and Trey are pretty much the focal point of that team. If you got guys that are going to be free agents this summer, what's like your pitch to come to Atlanta? I mean, you guys got a ton of cap space this summer mm-hmm. that you guys could use. If you were trying to recruit guys, I mean, one, are you talking to guys to try and recruit guys? And what do you say to get them to come on board and help you and Trey kind of take this Hawks team to the next level that you're watching on TV?
No, I mean, I try my best, as I feel like all other NBA players, you know, try to recruit other good players or other good friends. So I'm definitely always trying to hit up guys. I can't tell you who I'm talking to or who I'm trying to get down here. You know what I'm saying? I gotta let that simmer. But you definitely know. You know, JC is trying to. I'm trying to be GM JC over here. Just know that, okay? in terms of what was the second part of that? Because I got carried away.
Nah, that's part of it. Just to help you guys get to that next level, to those playoffs that you're watching. I mean, about, you know, why would you, if you were giving a sales pitch to somebody here, come to Atlanta with me, here's why.
That's right.
What would it be?
I feel like the first one would be, as I say, look at the little magician, like we got right now.
So, the little magician.
That's why I call him a little magician, man. Cause that's what he is, man. He, every time he comes out on court, it's magic. You know what I'm saying? But, for instance, like, and now I can throw out a little stat, but so Trey and I have the best pick and roll in the NBA outside of LeBron James and AD. So to me, that's like, yo, this dude's an elite passer. Like, there's no questions. Like, yeah, you can say whatever about me, but when you're looking at a point guard who can get people the ball, we have one, and then one that can do it at an elite level. That's my first pitch. That would be the first thing I say. The second thing I say would be, now, when it comes to, you know, probably something in terms of me, be like, hey, listen, now if you're thinking about, hey, I'm coming to Atlanta, is you and Trey are the guys here, and you got to take all these shots and do all this. I don't want to come in and intrude. If anybody has anything to say along with that, I would say to him, like, hey, listen, obviously, you know, I Trey shoots, you know, he's going to do his thing. I don't shoot too much, and I pride myself on being efficient mm-hmm. and taking smart shots. You know what I'm saying? So 16. I'm not a guy that has to shoot a lot. I feel like I can put my impact on the game without taking a ton of shots, and I feel like I've proven that consistently now. And I feel like once I explain that to whoever I'm recruiting, that gives them more peace of mind and saying, hey, okay, even when I do come here, obviously I hope that player is a, you know, hell of a defender as well, mm-hmm. but just speaking from offensive side of things, like, you know, I'm hoping that it would give him a way better peace of mind and saying, hey, man, you know, it's not all going to be like a big, like, jumbled mess. Like, you're going to come in and we're going to work with it. We're not going to, you know, try to force anything too fast or too slow, but we want to, you know, recruit guys who are right, recruit guys who fit into what we're trying to do. So the ingratiation period isn't so long. You know what I mean? And the third part would be, as you said, man, hey man, we got a whole bunch of cap space, man. So, if you're of that caliber guy, I definitely feel like, you know, with the conversations that I've had with, you know, front office and and management and stuff that we want to win and we want to get better. So I definitely don't feel like there would be any shortage of action on that end. So that would be my pitch. Listen, you got a elite passer. You're not going to get in my way, and I'm not going to get in yours, and you can get paid.
What does GM JC think the Hawks need?
Right now, I can't tell you a player specific, but I think we need just some veteran leadership. We need more guys with minds like Vince. Like, having Vince and losing Vince was a blessing, and obviously, you know, it's going to hurt us, you know, hurt our young guys if we, you know, don't try to cover his ability to have so much knowledge and spread it and share it. You know, that's so valuable. I feel like we need guys, more guys like that, more guys who've been in the league for, I'd say, a minimum of 6 or 7 years, understands what it takes on a day-to-day basis to come in, work out, lift, get their body right, recover, eat right. Like, I know I can do it, but it's more valuable, or it creates a culture, when you see 5 or 6 guys doing it on a consistent basis every day. Now the whole team's doing it every day. You know what I mean? Just small things like that, you know, having older veterans to tell Trey, hey, put your foot, and this is just a random example, like, just put your foot on the left side so you can get your shoulder lower to go around the screen. And Trey would be like, oh, okay. And now Trey is the best, you know, screen dodger in the league. Small things like that I feel like can help us out in huge ways. But that's first. We need some more veteran leadership. We got a bunch of, you know, young guys in the locker room. I'm 23. Trey's 21. I think he just turned 22. Cam just turned 20. Dre Hunter's 22. Kevin's 21. Bruno Fernando's 22. You know what I mean? Like, we're all super duper young. And I know we're all talented, and we, you know, we have all the potential in the world, but we need some, you know, help and some guidance. And I feel like that'll do us wonders, because on the basketball side of things, I feel like with time, we'll have every position or area covered, because I feel like we have guys who can do a lot of things.
Yeah, I think even too, back when you guys had like Jeremy Lin and how good that was for Trey's rookie year.
Right, exactly.
Before he left the team. Certainly, I get that aspect 100%. I look at, you know, you mentioned Cam Reddish. He's got a lot of physical tools. I think we saw more towards the end of the season him, like a light bulb kind of go on there a little bit for him. It's going to be interesting to see what he could do as like kind of a three-man and whatnot.
I love Cam, man. I feel like Cam is, you know, going to be one of the better on-ball defenders in the league. Just because of what we talked about, his physical tools, his athleticism, his mobility, but you know, all the stuff that everybody, you know, all the stuff that we see in Cam that we get excited about is definitely on the offensive end. Like I said, his mobility and his ability to, you know, change on the drop of a dime, his length, pretty solid athlete. Obviously, he needs to put on a couple pounds of muscle, but who doesn't when you're, you know, a first or second year guy in the league? Mm-hmm. But for him, like I always say, it's going to be mental. Cam has all the tools. Cam can do anything he wants on the basketball court, literally. You know, there's nothing he can't do. It's just all about trying to bring it together up in the mind, and that's why I feel like having those older veterans just helps out in ways that, you know, Cam wouldn't even, you know, necessarily realize until, you know, he's done, until those guys are away. Like, you know what I mean? That's the type of the guys we need. But Cam, man, I'm expecting big things from him. I'm a big fan of Cam.
And you were saying,
although he's a Duke guy, that's the only bad thing. I'm like, Duke, that's it. But other than that, that's my guy. That's my guy.
You being a Wake Forest guy, absolutely.
No deeks, yes, sir.
You know, you were saying too about when you pitch guys, how you and Trey as a pick and roll tandem, obviously at the top of the league in those statistical categories. When you look at the two of you, I mean, is there anybody that you guys kind of compare yourselves to as a tandem? Maybe historically.
I don't think Trey and I compare ourselves at all. I think Trey and I are very set on being our own. You know, we don't want to be any duos of anybody. But from just not trying to be, you know, super stoic. I've heard the Amari Stoudemire, Steve Nash a million times, as well as I've heard the John Stockton, Karl Malone, as well. Not, you know, saying we're any on those caliber yet, but those are the comparisons. You know, for what I've seen people talk about, you know, our chemistry and our game looks like together. So I'll damn sure take both of those. You know what I mean? Those are elite duos. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we were talking about Trey, and for him, he got to be an all-star this year. He hit that level. What are your goals for yourself next season?
Definitely the same thing. You know, I'm looking to make my first all-star appearance, which I feel like I would have had a pretty big shot at this year, you know, if all things went well. So, sorry, I'm watching this game. Somebody got rim stuff. I don't know.
It don't even got to be.
Can you elaborate on me a little bit more?
Yeah, no, I don't even got to be any like stats or anything like that. But if you, whether it's next season, you know, you talk about being an all-star. So, I mean, that's something that lock in for you. That's a goal for you next year.
Yeah, I mean, all-star for sure. You know, my biggest goal is to make any type of all-team. Like, you know, that's always a goal. I wouldn't tell you MVP is a goal or like all first or second or third team is a goal, because that's always a goal. Like most improved is always a goal. Defensive player of the year is like, you know what I'm saying? Always a goal. I'm always trying to, you know, I'm always trying my hardest. But all-star specifically is, you know, definitely a goal. I feel like is more predicated on what I do personally. So I feel like I have more of a say on that as well as, you know, the voters. But other than that, man, you know, I want to be a Hall of Famer. So I want to do what it takes to be in the Hall of Fame at the end of the day. So if every year means, you know, making a third team and maybe not, you know, making an all-star teams or whatever I need to do to be in the Hall of Fame, for, you know, whatever hardships come with that, I'm ready for it.
Where do you think you rank among, you know, big men in the league? I consider you more of a four. I don't know if you consider yourself a five or whatnot, but I'll let you have the floor on that one.
No, yeah, like I always say, when you look at my age and production and my numbers, like, I think those speak for itself. Like, whatever my age, production, and numbers say, I feel I can't elaborate more than, you know, than that. Like, efficiency, I feel like the numbers just speak for themselves and what I try to do or what I want to do on the basketball court. I try just not to force too much, but I think that's really, you know, that's it. I try to just let what I do speak for itself and try to not force too much else.
No, that's fine. I mean, some people, I know there's like other guys out there be like, yo, I'm either the best at this position or this or that. And I'll always joke, because like my guy here in Brooklyn, like Spencer Dinwiddie, he'll, even though like currently he's backing up Kyrie, this guy will make no qualms about it. Like, yo, I'm a starting point guard and I think I'm one of the best in the league. And that type
he definitely is.
And that type of confidence, you know, guys need in the league to thrive.
It's not to say that I need it. It's more like, I guess I'll try to say is to understand what I can bring to the table from a basketball aspect. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I let the media, I let you guys, you know, rank me. You know, I play the dude in front of me. That's how I like to think about it, or that's how I try to approach it. Because I always feel like once I start looking at all that type of stuff, I go crazy. I start to get angry and I start to look at this person's comment and be like, oh, he's right, or I say he's wrong. And that's where when I start to try to rank myself, that's where I feel like I lose it. But when I bet on myself, I win every time. You know what I mean?
So I'll make sure I tell my guy Chris Kirshner and my girl Sarah Spence out there, who do a great job covering you guys on a day-to-day basis, I'll let them know.
No, for sure. They're always riding and getting everything they can on us. So, you know what I mean? Tell them I said what's up when you see them again. You're there, you know, those are my peeps right there.
No doubt. They're good at what they do. I mean, you know, you were saying, too, about not, like, ranking yourself and just kind of the numbers speak for themselves and whatnot. Even coming up on, well, not yet, but towards before the start of next season, you are eligible for an extension. I know you've kind of like talked about that a little bit to those guys locally, to local media about it. How do you feel about the possibility of an extension?
I mean, I would love it. I would love to stay in Atlanta. I would love to be here. So I feel great about it. You know, we're in good hopes and good spirits. With everything right now, you know, nothing's really come up as of yet. You know what I mean? We're still, you know, everything's still in the talks, still in the works. But like I said, definitely still in great spirits and everything is going well. But definitely, like, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm true to Atlanta. Like, there's nothing else I got to say. I'm ready to extend.
different guys will say different things about like the extension. Like I remember with Spencer, he was pretty vocal about it. But like for you, how do you, so like for you as a player and just being in that situation, how do you personally go about it? Do you like let your agent handle it? Do you talk to him about it? Do you hit up Travis about it? Like how does it go for you?
So when it comes to talking about it, like if I'm not saying anything personally, then yeah, I definitely let my agents or whatever do the numbers, do the, you know, the contractual talking. But for me, it's more just being around every day, getting a feel for, you know, talking to Travis or just talking to coach. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily like I feel like I put in the work, or at this point right now, if we want to discuss, you know, what I've done, it's what I've done and it's done. Like you know, I'm not going back out there this year to play or anything. So, like, I try not to think about it too much and just understand that, like, whatever's going to happen, whatever is happening is, like, it's on the other side of the foot right now. And I don't, you know, have too much say as to, you know, when or what comes my way. But I just have to be ready for when it does. So, I'm just trying to be patient. And I know this is big time stuff right here. This is not an easy thing to talk about or to have happen or to want to have happen on my end, and for the Hawks to want to get something done in the correct way and for the best way for everybody. So, like I said, I'm patient, but I also understand my value and what I can bring. So I'm just trying to stay with it, trying to stay positive. So,
no, for sure. And then, you know, people going to write, you know, Max eligible, is he worth that, and this and that. And then that gets into a whole nother thing. You mentioned about, you know, Lloyd a little bit. What's Lloyd like as a coach?
I feel like Lloyd is a great motivational coach, great developmental coach, and obviously very, like I said, just very vocal. He's always been one, or a coach who's never been one to encourage players to hold their tongue. He's always been a guy who's encouraged guys to speak their mind and speak up and say what you have to say. And I feel like he's walking the walk 100% with how he's handling, you know, his involvement with the Black Lives Matter movement and his voice and how, you know, much he's used his platform to get a message out. So, you know, hats off to coach, because he's walking the walk and talking the talk. So, nothing but good things to say about him right now, especially with all the stuff he's been able to do for the Black Lives community, just in general. So, and as a coach, you know, like I said, I definitely feel like I can always come to him and talk to him about stuff. He's a very logical guy like I am. So I feel like we agree on a lot of stuff, or to be able to speak the same language with, when, you know, I've had other coaches who harder to talk to them, you know, very stuck in their ways, or very, very, very strict. You know, they do things a certain way and they've won and done things by it. So it's good to just have a variety and understand, you know, Lloyd's coaching style.
What about when you look ahead towards the next season? What do you think is the next step for you guys? Is it as simple as just, hey, let's make the playoffs?
For me, honestly, yeah. Like, I'm just saying this in terms of seeing Cam Reddish, well, seeing how Trey and I have been able to take that first year to second year jump. Mm-hmm. And if Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, Bruno Fernando are able to take that same jump that I feel like, you know, Trey and I were, yeah, I definitely feel like you'll see it written all over our team. You'll see the experience, you'll see the potential, you'll see the switchability, and just the cohesiveness that we play with. You know what I mean? Because our games fit together, I say, and we like each other. You know, we have fun with each other. So I do feel like it is that simple, but obviously there's way more that goes into it. But I feel like that's the biggest thing. If our younger guys can take that next jump and give us that needed help without us having to really – go and get too much else, or maybe trying to save cap space or whatever tactic we can do to provide ourselves more ability to win or more ability to gain more assets to be successful, then I feel like it starts there. I feel like, you know, Trey and I are definitely going to come out and try to do our jobs and hold up our reputation and what we've been able to accomplish so far in this league. So I'm not scared. We are in the East as well, which makes it a little bit easier. Considering we're only like 4 or 5 games out of the playoff race this year, hell yeah.
You know, it's funny, Lloyd was saying that next year, you know, he's looking at teams like the Bucks, the Raptors, you know, the upper echelon of the East, and he's like, we want to get there. We want to be like those guys and eventually overtake them down the line. So I could certainly understand that. You know, it's going to be interesting, too, because I look at the Wizards. I look at Brad Beal, John Wall coming back. You know, they're going to try to re-sign Bertans. You got Thomas Bryant, who's played well. The Nets are going to get Kevin Durant back. Kyrie's going to come back. You know, the whole East.
Sorry about that.
Nah, it's all
the
good.
The East, hey, listen. The East is always, the league is never going to be a cakewalk. You know what I'm saying? Never going to be a cakewalk. You know, but I just feel like it's not the West.
Mm-hmm. The West is
not the West. It's not the West.
There's a reason why they have more teams, I mean, you know, invited to that bubble, man. They, when you looking even
it's
at.
It's wild out there, man. Wild West out there, man. It's crazy.
No, 100%. I mean, look at what, and you're right. Like, look at what Devin Booker and Phoenix did, going 8-0 in the bubble, and they still didn't even make it, and they were pretty close there. You got now Dame and Carmelo. That's another funny thing, man. I don't know about you, but I'm sure playing against Carmelo, you never thought he was washed. But a lot of people were saying that this guy was washed, and it's like, clearly no.
No, you know, those people were just following what was being said and not, I feel like, taking the actual time to see what Melo does. Like, Melo's a real bucket getter. Like, that's all he does. All he's done his whole career is get buckets. And I don't think people, real basketball fans understand the fact that, like, that jump shot's never going to go away. Like, that old man strength he's got right now is going to be with him for a couple more years. And his footwork, he has everything that he, you know, does and scores, you know, how he does his thing. He has it down to a science. So when you look at it from that perspective and you say, hey, this guy definitely has more than 10,000 hours locked into his craft. Of course he does. Probably 30,000-40,000 hours. Like, to me, when you look at it that way, the guy's always valuable. You know, he might be a defensive whatever, but it's Carmelo Anthony, man. You know what you're going to get from him? Big shot maker. He's been in big spots, big positions his entire career. So I felt like, you know, his road back to the league was definitely a little bit harsh, but hey, Melo's been working and it's showing. So, like I said, another hats off to Melo.
You know what just came to my mind too that I was thinking about as we're talking about other players in the league? Your guy Trey, obviously for the rest of his life in the NBA, is going to get compared to Luka Doncic because they were traded on draft night. And obviously, if I recall correctly, I think, you know, Cam Reddish was a part of that trade ultimately because a year later you got that pick.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think of that? That the fact that those two guys are always going to get compared to each other and just like that comparison between the two of them ultimately?
No, yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like the basketball community definitely hyped it up and gassed it up a little bit more than Trey and Luka thought it was going to be from the start. But when you look at the trade scenario and then the draft, you look at those two guys are really damn good, really young. And whenever you get drafted in the same draft class, it's just always how the dice is going to roll. That the guy that the two best guys in that class are always going to get compared as to who's better than him and who's better than this. And it makes it even worse, like you said, because they were traded for each other. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, like, you know, like this is a real instance of this situation. So, I'm ice tray all day, man. That's all I got to say. Ice. It's cold. I'm cold right now.
You got to stick up for your brother, no doubt. But nah, John, we've touched on a bunch of topics. I certainly appreciate you coming on the podcast with us. You're obviously always more than welcome to come on anytime. You're a fun interview, and I always enjoy chatting with some of the best young stars in the league. You're on your way, man.
Mikey, thank you, man. I appreciate the call. And like I said, whenever I come to New York, I'm gonna hit you up, get some of that New York style, man. Yeah.
Just
that style, whatever. Well, I don't know whatever style is the best.
I tell you what, you gotta the Italian trick. You got to have the belt buckle that adjusts without, like, just like a slider, because you're going to be, your belly going to be leaning back a little bit.
You're going to have to unzip that button, unhook that button for sure. Unzip down while you're sitting down. It'll be a tough walk out.
Well, good stuff. In the meantime, enjoy some time with your little man for the rest of the summer and stay safe, man. Always a pleasure, my guy.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the call, and we'll talk soon.
If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops Hype podcast,
Like and subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.